This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Communist China has sold Americans a dazzling array of counterfeits and forgeries, including copyrighted books and music, expensive fashion apparel, and prescription drugs with ingredients that kill. China's latest venture into fakery is fake alcohol. The counterfeiters collect empty bottles of genuine alcohol, refill them with a cheap substitute from who knows where, and then resell this counterfeit alcohol to popular bars and restaurants in Beijing. The police discovered 37,000 bottles of this fake alcohol ready to be delivered. China's fake alcohol is generally made from one of three bases: ethylene glycol, which is antifreeze, which attacks the kidneys and heart and is potentially fatal; methanol, which attacks the retinal nerve and can result in blindness; and isopropyl, that's the name for rubbing alcohol. The China Bee Products Association claims that half of all honey sold in China is fake. The final Harry Potter movie was available in Chinese bookstores before it was released by the publisher. Beijing shops sell fake Gucci. One reporter saw a gift shop selling a suitcase full of fake U.S. $100 bills. Now let me give you an update on how Communist China is replacing the United States as the world's car maker. The company we all used to know as General Motors, which after it was bailed out by the U.S. taxpayers, is now informally called Government Motors, recently announced it will build a billion-dollar factory to manufacture Cadillacs in Communist China. Of course, the U.S. corporation had to get permission from Chinese communist authorities to build its factory and had to make it a joint venture with the Chinese company. Even the Wall Street Journal criticized GM for investing so many billions of dollars in China after getting bailed out by the U.S. taxpayers in 2009.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Chances are you or someone you care about is unemployed or underemployed. At eagleforum.org, in a blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, we're weighing the causes and solutions of this national crisis. One thing is certain, more government spending is not the answer. Join the blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendovite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendovite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendovite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Thank you for joining me today. We are talking about false flags and other provocations. I will be on Mark Dankoff's program at 15 minutes after this program ends. Alrighty. The Israelis had captured some Egyptians and held them in the town of El Arish. By June 8th, the prisoners had become annoyances, as the Israelis had no place to house them and insufficient forces to guard them and too few vehicles to move them to regular prison camps. Consequently, the Israelis transformed the town into a slaughterhouse by methodically butchering their Egyptian prisoners. They lined up 60 unarmed Egyptians with their hands tied behind their backs and with machine guns slaughtered them in cold blood. They machine gunned another group of 30 prisoners nearby. In yet another incident, the number of Egyptian prisoners totaled about 150. The Israelis forced some prisoners to dig graves for the dead, and then they shot them. Aryeh Yishaki, an Israeli army historian, said that the Israeli soldiers, including Ariel Sharon, murdered about 1,000 Egyptian prisoners in the Sinai. Yishaki said that the Israeli leadership, Dayan Rabin, and others knew about the slaughter. The USS Liberty, with $10.2 million worth of sensitive equipment, eavesdropped on the Six-Day War and knew about the slaughter. The Israelis were aware by 10:55 a.m. on June 8th that a clearly marked U.S. ship was just off the coast. On that day, without any warning, the Israeli Navy and Air Force attacked the ship with torpedoes, rockets, white phosphorus, cannons, and armor-piercing bullets. The Israelis used napalm, a flammable liquid or jellied gasoline, to turn the Liberty's deck into a 3,000-degree holocaustic firestorm. The Israelis killed 34 Americans and wounded 171 others, one of which died later from his wounds. This was a well-planned, premeditated strategy to prevent the USS Liberty from alerting the world of this murderous attack. The surveillance ship was no longer able to listen in to the war or send messages. If that was the objective of the attack, then they met the goal, and the attack should have subsided. However, the real objective was to slaughter the crew and send the ship to the bottom. When the Israeli planes left, three surface craft appeared and began firing torpedoes. One hit below the waterline and made a hole which measured 45 feet by 34 by 37. Amazingly, the ship did not sink. When the crew inflated lifeboats, the torpedo boats destroyed those lifeboats. The war was over by June 8th, and Egypt had lost. The men on the Liberty first assumed that the Arabs in unmarked planes and ships were attacking their ship in retaliation for U.S. support of Israel. During Israel's assault, there were several U.S. ships in the area, including the aircraft carrier Saratoga, which had received a message asking for assistance from the USS Liberty, addressed to any and all U.S. ships or stations. Help was only about 15 to 20 minutes away. According to an independent, unofficial study, the White House deliberately prevented the U.S. Navy from coming to the defense of the USS Liberty by recalling 6th Fleet Military Rescue Support while the ship was under attack. Secretary of Defense Robert S. McNamara recalled the rescue aircraft that had been launched from the Saratoga within minutes. He would not have made such a move without Johnson's approval. Secretary McNamara ordered the aircraft recalled a second time. President Johnson had ordered the return of the aircraft by saying he would not have his allies embarrassed. He didn't care who was killed or what was done to the ship. Johnson told Admiral Geis, "I want that GD ship going to the bottom. No help, recall the wings," unquote. Tony Hart, a Navy communications technician stationed at the U.S. Navy base in Morocco, in June 1967 reported that McNamara responded, and I quote, "We are not going to war over a bunch of dead sailors," unquote. If the USS Liberty had sunk as Johnson wanted, Israel and the world, because of the media, would have blamed Egypt. Government officials, including the McCains, those scoundrels, have maintained absolute silence regarding Israel's attack on the USS Liberty. The attack ended at about 3:15 p.m. The ship generated sufficient steam to start moving from the area. There were 851 rocket hits, and survivors estimated that at least 15 planes had targeted the USS Liberty. Survivors could have rationalized one hit as an accident, but not an attack that resulted in more than 851 holes in the vessel. Captain Ward Boston, the chief Navy attorney for the 1967 U.S. Navy Court of Inquiry, revealed that the clear-cut evidence demonstrated the ship was clearly marked as an American ship. At the time, Congress, failing their check and balances responsibility, opted not to convene a formal investigation of the situation. The U.S. government did not hold Israel accountable. The U.S. Navy prohibited its investigators from going to Israel to question Israeli pilots and boat captains. The Navy conducted an 8-day inquiry and issued a top-secret final report. Yitzhak Rabin, the 5th Prime Minister of Israel, concluded that Israel was not to blame for the attack. On June 19, 1967, Abba Eban, Israel's foreign minister, delivered a speech to the Special Assembly of the United Nations in which he claimed, and I quote, "The danger to his country was great," unquote. He said, and I quote, "The military buildup in Egypt proceeded at an intensive rate. It was designed to enable Egypt to press its war plans against Israel while maintaining its violent adventures elsewhere. In the face of these developments, Israel was forced to devote an increasing part of its resources to self-defense," unquote. Eben claimed he heard the following on a Cairo broadcast on May 25, 1967, and I quote, "The Arab people is firmly resolved to wipe Israel off the map and restore the honor of the Arabs of Palestine," unquote. Ezer Weizman, chief of the operations staff under Rabin, told an Israeli newspaper that there was, and I quote, "no threat of destruction," unquote. He admitted that the Israel's attack against Egypt, Jordan, and Syria would allow Israel to exist according to the, and I quote, exist according to the scale, spirit, and quality she now embodies," unquote. Apply that to what's going on in Syria right now. Rabin designed his deceptive claims to win the world's support and ultimately blame the war on Egypt. Prior to 1967, Islamic fundamentalism was a relatively small movement. Osama bin Laden, supported by the CIA, headed the Al-Qaeda network. Al-Qaeda, referred to as the database, was part of a CIA operation after the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan on December 24, 1979, part of Columbia professor Zbigniew Brzezinski's plan to destabilize the Soviet Union. Brzezinski, who was a member of the CFR, the founding director of the Trilateral Commission, and a Rockefeller minion with CIA ties as early as 1959, was President Carter's national security advisor. By 1984, the CIA supplied textbooks for Afghan students through USAID, a CIA front group. Dr. Thomas Gutierrez, head of Afghan studies at the University of Nebraska, directed the writing of these textbooks, which the university published. Dr. Gutierrez was friends with Zalmay Khalilzad, who is also a member of the CFR, and was U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan and Iraq in 2003. Khalilzad, an Afghan-born Muslim, was a former advisor to UNICOL, and was an assistant political science professor at Columbia University, where he worked closely with Brzezinski. The academics designed the textbooks to produce a militaristic populace in order to provoke resistance to the Soviets and future enemies. The book's illustrations included tanks, landmines, and missiles, and promoted hatred. The U.S. government supplied these incendiary textbooks between 1984 and 1994 under Presidents Reagan and George H.W. Bush. In 1981, Bush directed the destruction of all CIA records regarding him and his company, Zapata, covering 1960 to 1966. Bush was CIA director from 1976 to 77. Be right back in 3 minutes.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The 5 self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get 1 free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy 3. This is a massive savings of $600 on a 4-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site again is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran owned and operated.
All right, welcome back. This is Deanna, and I'm talking about false flags and other provocations. In 1982, President Reagan created the National Endowment for Democracy NED in order to acceptably manage CIA activities. Freedom House, the group created in 1941, became part of this network. NED helped finance Freedom House. Paul Wolfowitz in the early 1980s, along with his neoconservative allies, collaborated with numerous Trotskyites. With the hidden funding and under the cover of conservative think tanks, the U.S. government can influence public opinion and conceal its interventions in foreign politics. Alarm over Islamic fundamentalists conveniently occurred when Reagan called for the dismantlement of the Berlin Wall, formally concluded on October 30, 1990, followed by the official collapse of the Soviet Union on December 25, 1991. With Soviet communism gone and the Berlin Wall dismantled, the State Department would either be forced to create another enemy or decrease their defense budget to about half of what it had been, which would cut into the elite's corporate profits. Shortly thereafter, officials devised the first Gulf War to purportedly protect the oil resources of the Middle East against the so-called rogue states and nuclear outlaws. Islamic fundamentalism, our latest boogeyman, has replaced communism. Former Harvard professor William Kristol, the son of Irvin Kristol, was chief of staff to Vice President Dan Quayle under the first Bush regime. Bill Kristol founded the Project for a New American Century, PNAC, a tax-exempt foundation, in the spring of 1997, 100 years after the first Zionist conference. Sarah Scaife Foundation, the John M. Olin Foundation, and the Bradley Foundation financed PNAC with close ties to the American Enterprise Institute. Its objectives are U.S. global supremacy and a greater Israel. 25 people signed their mission statement, 17 of whom belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, whose objective is a one-world government. Founding members include Elliot Abrams, Gary Bauer, William J. Bennett, Jeb Bush, Richard B. Cheney, Elliot A. Cohen, Midge Dechter, Paula Dobriansky, Steve Forbes, Aaron Friedberg, Francis Fukuyama, Frank Gaffney, Fred C. Ilkel, Donald Kagan, Zalmay Khalilzad, I. Lewis Libby, Norman P. Poderitz, Dan Quayle, Peter W. Rodman, Stephen P. Rosen, Henry R. Rowan, Donald Rumsfeld, Vin Weber, George Vigel, and Paul Wolfowitz. In 1992, Libby and Wolfowitz wrote Defense Planning Guidance for Defense Secretary Dick Cheney. Bill Kristol advocates neoconservatism, the American version of Trotsky's Bolshevism. Kristol, a Bilderberger and Manhattan Institute trustee, is also the editor and co-founder, along with John Poderitz, of the Weekly Standard magazine, established September 17, 1995, and funded at a loss by Rupert Murdoch, who is also a member of the CFR and a rabid Zionist. The so-called conservative magazine, co-edited by Fred Barnes, promotes the war hawk mentality, the same message heard on numerous conservative talk shows and on Murdoch's Fox Network. The Weekly Standard contributors include John Epstein, Charles Krauthammer, Britt Hume, who is a Fulbright scholar, Tucker Carlson, Robert W. Kagan, foreign policy analyst and son of Donald Kagan, Yale professor John Poderitz, son of Norman, and others. In 1995, Kristol professed to the New Yorker, and I quote, "The liberal media were never that powerful, and the whole thing was often used as an excuse by conservatives for conservative failures," unquote. Norman P. B. Poderitz, a Trotskyite, in his books has admitted that the reason for the Cold War was to weaponize Israel to fight the Arab nations. He belongs to an influential New York chapter of the American Jewish Committee, one of the leading Zionist organizations operating within America. It publishes the liberal-turned-conservative Commentary magazine. Now, remembering that the CIA probably controls much of what we hear from the elite-owned media. According to Pew, 30% of all Americans obtain their news from talk radio and cable television. Many never, ever read a book. A large percentage get their news from the Fox network, whose employees received the morning memo, a directive on how to spin the news of the day. Roger Ailes, former Republican campaign wizard, is president of Fox News Channel and chairman of Fox Television Stations Group, which has a stable of journalists and guests who push right-wing propaganda disguised as news. According to a decision by the Florida Appeals Court on February 14, 2003, in the Jane Aker whistleblower lawsuit, the court agreed with Fox News that it is not against the law to distort or falsify the news in America. Okay, well, we have it from the court. In 1997, Israel Shahak wrote, "Since the spring of 1992, public opinion in Israel is being prepared for the prospect of war with Iran, to be fought to bring about Iran's total military and political defeat. In one version, Israel would attack Iran alone. In another, it would persuade the West to do the job. On January 26, 1998, the PNAC war hawks, in a letter to President Clinton, urged him to invade Iraq to depose Saddam Hussein. In October 1998, the Catastrophic Terrorism Study Group, led by Philip D. Zelikow, completed a nine-month-long study of the technologies and defenses against terrorists. The study group was a collaboration of the faculty of Harvard, MIT, Stanford, and the University of Virginia. The Carnegie Corporation of New York, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the Herbert S. Winokur Public Policy Fund at Harvard University funded the study. The group produced a report entitled Catastrophic Terrorism, Elements of a National Policy. An article based on the academic study group report appeared in the CFR journal Foreign Affairs in the November-December 1998 issue, the same year that PNAC wrote to President Clinton suggesting the removal of Hussein. Philip D. Zelikow later became the gatekeeper executive director of the 9/11 Commission. He earlier co-authored a book with Condoleezza Rice, both members of the Bush 41's National Security Council, entitled Germany Unified and Europe Transformed, A Study in Statecraft. Zelikow also authored the National Security Strategy of the United States, which became the new preemptive war doctrine of the Bush administration, written for then National Security Council Director Condoleezza Rice, who had worked on the Bush transition team. He had a hidden agenda: connect Al-Qaeda and Iraq. PNAC compiled its policy statements in Rebuilding America's Defenses, Strategy, Forces, and Resources for a New Century, published in September 2000. We read, and I quote, "Further, the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor," unquote. It appears that 9/11 was that new Pearl Harbor. As Shahak indicated, Israel was going to persuade the West to wage a war. Just how would Israeli political leaders persuade the U.S. government to invade their enemy, a country that has not militarily assaulted America? The elite, for well over 100 years, has used false flag assault and very persuasive media propaganda to win public support for their warfare. The CIA and their foreign intelligence counterpart, the Mossad, have lengthy experience in false flag tactics, one of the main reasons for their existence. On October 12, 2000, they used the live bait tactic in the USS Cole, where they killed 17 U.S. sailors and injured 39. A small boat moved to the port side of the destroyer when all the sailors were gathering in the galley for lunch. An explosion occurred which created a 40 by 40 foot hole in the ship. Al-Qaeda, led by Osama bin Laden, a CIA asset, took credit for the attack. Yet samples of the explosives retrieved from the ship's hull showed that the materials used were only available in America and Israel. Then they used the live bait tactic on 9/11 to get America to remove Hussein and bomb Iraq back to the Stone Age. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back in about 4 minutes.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and we're talking about false flags and provocations today. Within 24 hours of 9/11, the media, miraculously, as if all the information were prepared beforehand, revealed histories, photos, and details about the Muslim terrorists who allegedly perpetrated the attack. The U.S. government blamed Osama bin Laden, who died in December 2001, probably from kidney failure. Fox News announced his death on December 26, 2001. Later, the media would show fake photos of bin Laden claiming responsibility. despite, and of course, he was recently killed and dumped into the sea by Obama's administration. Despite the terrorists' amazing ability to subvert the military response apparatus of the world's most powerful military, they failed to cover their trail and left a substantial amount of easy-to-find, magically fireproof evidence. Their unhindered assault on a specific section of the Defense Department halted an audit that would have exposed billions of dollars of stolen money under the jurisdiction of Rabbi Dov Zakheim, the controller of the Pentagon. He may have funneled it to Israel, no doubt. That's where it went. The Port Authority, after it lost a 10-year asbestos lawsuit on May 1st, 2001, were stuck with a money-losing albatross that they could not get a license to demolish. On June 24, 2001, Louis M. Eisenberg, chairman of the Port Authority, leased the buildings, the towers, to his good friend Larry Silverstein. Almost prophetically, Silverstein quickly insured the towers against a terrorist attack. Wow! How lucky for him! On September 20, 2001, PNAC members sent a letter to President Bush, in which they urged him to wage the nation's first war of the 21st century, including the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden and the capture and prosecution of any and all perpetrators of 9/11. They encouraged Bush to go after any other group that means us harm. Open-ended warfare. They advocated the end of Hussein's government and the financial and military support of any Iraqi opposition. They also encouraged him to go after Hezbollah and the countries that support it, Iran and Syria. If Iran and Syria fail to comply and cooperate, then the U.S. military should take action against those countries. They further recommended that the U.S. withhold support from the Palestinians in favor of support to Israel. Okay, so PNAC, long ago, figured out the policy, the foreign policy, and it doesn't matter whether Bush or whoever is in charge, whoever is president, they're going to follow the PNAC policy. The letter said, but even if evidence does not link Iraq directly to the attack, any strategy aiming at the eradication of terrorism and its sponsors must include a determined effort to remove Saddam Hussein from power in Iraq, unquote. Richard Pearl said, and I quote, this is total war. We are fighting a variety of enemies. There are lots of them out there. All this talk about first we're going to do Afghanistan, then we will do Iraq, then we will look around and see how things stand. This is entirely the wrong way to go about it. If we just let our vision of the world go forth and we embrace it entirely and we don't try to piece things together with clever diplomacy, but just wage a total war, our children will sing great songs about us years from now, unquote. Paul Wolfowitz said that the anti-terrorism campaign has to be broad and sustained. He said, and I quote, it's not going to stop if a few criminals are taken care of, unquote. Scientists understand that monotonous patterns produce a stupor that renders people vulnerable to hypnosis. Certain low-level frequencies or unperceived waves exist in radio and television, the normal vehicle for mass hypnosis. It is the prime method of controlling huge populations. On 9/11, everything shut down except our television sets. We were extra attentive and traumatized, the most effective of any indoctrination process. Many still believe that the Muslims perpetrated 9/11. R. James Woolsey, CFR, PNAC, and the former CIA director, was a signatory on the 1998 letter to President Clinton calling for Hussein's removal. On September 11, 2001, Woolsey claimed that Iraq was involved in the attack. A year later, he claimed that Iraq was also involved in the 1993 attack on the World Trade Center and the 1995 bombing of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Woolsey, a former chairman of Freedom House, of the Freedom House Board, was a Rhodes Scholar. He was part of the secretive North American Forum held in Canada September 12th through the 14th in 2006. In July 2006, Woolsey suggested that the U.S. bomb Syria. Here we go again. His wife, Suzanne H. Woolsey, also a member of the CFR, has been a director of the Flora Corporation, an engineering firm, since February 3rd, 2004. By August 2004, Flora had a $1.6 $1 billion Iraqi reconstruction contract. Floor made about $1.3 billion for rebuilding after Hurricane Katrina, a storm that displaced 1.5 million people and caused about $81.2 billion in damage. See, all these well-connected politicians and people, they all get the... It's a spoil system in hyperactivity mode. 300 members, in other words, 69% of the House of Representatives, signed a letter addressed to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton affirming the unbreakable bond that exists between the United States and the State of Israel. Given that fact, I hardly think that the imposition of Sharia law is a viable threat. As long as the Jews prominently display the national menorah at the White House during the holidays instead of a Christmas tree, I think citizens should stop worrying about the imposition of Sharia law, particularly since Congress in 1991 passed the Noahide laws. Former Speaker of the House, internationalist Newt Gingrich, who is a member of the CFR and a NAFTA proponent and a recipient of millions from Sheldon Adelson, argues, and I quote, "One of our biggest mistakes in the aftermath of 9/11 was naming our response to the attacks the war on terror instead of accurately identifying radical Islamists and the underlying ideology of radical Islamism as the target of our campaign. Radical Islamism is more than simply a religious belief. It is a comprehensive political, economic, and religious movement that seeks to impose Sharia, Islamic law, upon all aspects of global society." Madeleine Albright, also a member of the CFR, while Secretary of State, said, and I quote, "If we have to use force, it is because we are America. We are the indispensable nation," unquote. Governments during the 20th century slaughtered over 170 million people. 10 million died in World War I and 50 million died in World War II. Of those who the Allied troops killed during World War II, almost 70% were civilians. This so-called collateral damage was a consequence of indiscriminate bombing by Britain and America. Then there was Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, a potential war in Iran, and, of course, Syria, and the unpublicized CIA wars, which took out an additional 6 million people that the media does not report on. Yet many citizens, rather than focusing on America's brutality, claim that Islam is violent. In addition to the USS Liberty, it took another false flag, 9/11, to get the U.S. embroiled in the Middle East. U.S. officials, urged by families of those killed, finally convened a 9/11 commission despite Bush and Cheney's objections. However, it took time to gather the right people to staff the commission, which predictably failed to reach accurate conclusions because the government withheld essential evidence and concealed the testimony of many witnesses. One member, former U.S. Senator Bob Kerry, admitted that 9/11 was a 30-year conspiracy. Shortly after 9/11, Eckhard Wurthbach, the former president of Germany's Domestic Intelligence Service, said, the deadly precision and the magnitude of the planning behind the attacks would have required years of planning. Benjamin Netanyahu, the day after the horrific attack, said that the 9/11 terror attacks were good for Israel. Well, that's just great. All righty. I believe we will have some time for some callers. You can call in at 800-313-9443 with any questions or comments. Again, feel free to call in at 800-313-9443. All righty. The Muslims are not the enemy. They do not extort usury, but rather oppose it. They are not manufacturing population-reducing vaccines and GMO seeds. They did not put SV40 in the polio vaccines to create pandemic cancer. They did not create the medical mafia. Okay, we are going to a quick break. We will be back in 3 minutes.
Flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Freedom ain't free, but shooting is cheap. Knob Creek Gun Range. Shoot safe, pay less, have fun. Rifles, pistols, shotguns, cannons, what you got? We got a 350-yard outdoor range, plus other secret ranges we're not even supposed to talk about. Come to Knob Creek Gun Range in West Point, Kentucky, and celebrate diversity at our next shoot coming up on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Visit our website at knobcreekrange.com to find out more information on everyday activities or to get information on the October shoot on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. Or call 502-922-4457. Again, that's 502-922-4457. Knob Creek Gun Range, where the Second Amendment comes first. Go to knobcreekrange.com today or just show up ready to fire at 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Call 502-922-4457.
All right, welcome back. This is Deanna, and we're talking about false flags and other provocations, and I'm talking about the Muslims and what they didn't do. They did not devise our abortion laws, wherein about 56 million people have died. They have not instituted the draconian health care laws to provide less care to people and extraordinary amounts of profit to well-connected insurance companies. They did not bail out the banks or orchestrate the nation's economic crashes. They did not create the Department of Homeland Security and impose the Patriot Act or massive surveillance of the population. They are not wiretapping the private conversations or scanning the airport. They are not mandating dangerous smart meters on every home in America to comply with Agenda 21. They did not impose godless communism on several countries and cause the death of millions of innocent people. They have not deindustrialized the nation and outsourced millions of jobs. They have not wiped out the middle class by passing trade laws like NAFTA. They have not foreclosed on thousands of homes and forced thousands of people to live in tent cities. They did not pass income tax laws to extract the product of everyone's labor. They did not develop depleted uranium weapons in Agent Orange that have caused massive birth defects. They have not fluoridated the nation's water supply or the addition of aspartame to thousands of foods. They did not pass the no-hide laws in 1991 or the kosher tax laws that increased the price of thousands of food products. Muslims did not instigate the attacks on the USS Liberty, the USS Cole, and they did not orchestrate the well-organized attack in Manhattan on 9/11. Instead of worrying about a mosque, consider what's going on behind the closed doors at the Federal Reserve, the Pentagon, the Senate and House chambers, the CFR, the State Department, the UN, or dozens of other places. Okay, let's take some calls. Let's take Fred in Michigan. Fred, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Deanna. Was that your paper that you were reading all this time?
Of course.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
And is that part of your... You authored a book recently, right?
I've written two books, and I'm just finishing up my third book.
Is this expose included in one of your books?
No.
Okay. Well, I thank you for reading that, and as I was hearing that, I'm thinking, well, okay, the Arabic people certainly did not create the gulag in which 66 million goyim were murdered by, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Aaron Soltz, Yaakov Rapoport, Lazar Kogan, Matvey Berman, Ginrich Yagoda, Naftali Frankel. And all six of these, well, they're not Arabic people. Doesn't sound like they're Russian people or Polish people or Irish. You know what? Alexander Solzhenitsyn says they're all Jews. And you know what? I don't think they created the AIDS pathogen either, and I don't think they were involved with the anthrax mailings after 9/11.
You could go on and on and on and on, and even Putin said that the people, the Bolsheviks, were primarily Jews.
Yeah, and you know what? Good old Vladimir Lenin, born Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, okay, and then, of course, we've got Trotsky, original name Bronstein. And, of course, as Lenin Vladimir said, or Ilyich Ulyanov, the establishment of a central bank is 90% of communizing a nation. So we certainly can't blame our Arabic,
the Arabics for communism. No.
Nope. No, we can't. We can't. No. And in Andrew's book, I was reading the prologue.
Don't you love Andy? He's quite a guy.
Oh,
I know,
God,
you do.
I love hearing. There's something, I don't know, marvelously captivating about that British voice of his.
Yes, and, indeed.
You know, but in the prologue, I read here on page 16. It says these Jews may be privy to or may not even remotely understand the heinous plan and designs of the Sabbatean, or is it pronounced Sabbatean?
Yeah.
Satanic Jews of the synagogue of Satan. So the fellow who's on every Sunday at 3 Eastern time interviewed, and maybe you've interviewed, is it David Livingston that he interviewed?
I have interviewed David Livingston,
Did David say anything much about the Sabbateans? Because I called in and I said, hey, and I hadn't read this little section here on page 16 where Andrew actually calls attention to the Sabbatean satanic Jews of the synagogue of Satan. But Mr. Livingston primarily identified Sabbateans in opposition to Khazar Ashkenazis.
Okay, so you're talking. You're talking about the Sephardim Jews, and actually Jerusalem has done a lot towards trying to get rid of them. They radiated a lot of the children of the Sephardics that lived in Israel early on. But that's probably another program. But we do have other callers, Fred.
Okay.
So
thanks, Deanna.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right, let's take real quick Paul in New Jersey. Paul?
Hello, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, listen, I think on the 13th of this month is Yom Kippur, correct?
Probably, yes. Yes, it is.
Right. Now, the eve before Yom Kippur is when they read the Kol Nidre?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that would make that tomorrow. So if you could, I'd like you to mention on your show or go into it a little bit if possible. Because, you know, if you're going to celebrate, like, 9-11 and dates, why not discuss, we Gentiles, about this religion of Judaism, which you have to wonder whether it's a religion or a Machiavellian how-to book. You know?
Okay.
Because you did mention, by the way, about just the amount of Jews when you read the PNAC documents signers. You know, you did mention. You could see that the overrepresentation of Jews and ingathering in that group.
Oh, exactly.
And so it's just the treachery that will go on tomorrow night at the synagogues throughout this country is exactly that. They get together to condone treachery by reading this Kol Nidre chant about, you know, saying, oh, God's going to forgive me for the next year for all the treachery I'm going to do because it's for the good of Judaism.
And they also, whatever vows that they have made to other people, particularly the Gentiles, they are not obligated to keep as part of that whole process.
Exactly. So how could Joe Lieberman, Orthodox Jew that he is, ever be a senator if he's taking another oath? I mean, doesn't that say in the Constitution you're only supposed to serve one master when you work?
Well, it doesn't count for politicians. Politicians are exempt. Well, you know, the original 13th Amendment said that no lawyers could be part of Congress, so they had to get rid of that. And inasmuch as the Kol Nidre is something that most Americans have no knowledge of, they don't know that Lieberman and all the rest of the Jews in Congress have taken an oath to Israel. Well, in fact, the letter to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the letter was from a majority of the Senate and the House saying that they upheld Israel. So it isn't just the Jews in Congress. It isn't just those people. It is the majority of Congress.
Well, because of the power of AIPAC,
money
coming out of there. Yeah.
Exactly.
But, anyway, just to let the next caller go, I just thought I'd mention to you, I'd love to hear you do a show on the Kol Nidre and get some guests on.
Okay, I'll try and do that. Thank you so much.
Because I think that would be a great way to celebrate Judaism is, you know, when they're celebrating another one of their ethnic conflicts, like at Hanukkah or, a war or the fall of the temple in August, we should give them a little, like, give them a shout-out so your listeners know what the Jews are up to. And that what a strange religion that incorporates so many tribal either victories or defeats and, great treachery.
Indeed.
Yeah, okay.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. Thank you, Fred. And thank you to Brian and Larry. I'm sorry that we could not take you. Thanks for joining us today. And I will be with Mark Dankoff in about 15 minutes. Take care. Bye-bye.